New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of our Lord. There are certain events in our lives that occur that we refer to as mountaintop experiences. Does anyone, just a quick show of hands, know what I'm talking about when I say a mountaintop experience? I had never heard that expression before until about 8 or 10 years ago, and I had just returned from a mission trip in Costa Rica. I'd been working in a remote village at an orphanage, and I had also been working in the next town over with a church, and we would lead Bible studies and help establish neighborhood churches. So I was there for about 2 weeks doing this work, and when I returned back stateside, I showed up to my church that following Sunday. And as I walked through the doors of the church, an older gentleman came over and he greeted me and he said, "Welcome back. How was your trip?" And I flashed him a huge smile and I started gushing about all the experiences. I told him how rewarding it was to work with the children in the orphanage, how the kids latched on. They thoroughly enjoyed us being there, playing with them, teaching them more about God. I told him about the people that came to the Bible studies, how excited and enthusiastic they were to learn more about God and their faith. And I went on about the beauty of Costa Rica, the flora, the fauna, the hospitality of the people. But most of all, I described to him how close God felt every single minute of those entire 2 weeks, how real and present God felt as we played games with the children, as we laughed and ate meals together, as we stayed up late and gazed up at the stars and talked about the existence of God. And he was smiling as I gushed on and on about my experiences in Costa Rica. And then he said, "Well, it sounds like you're still on the mountaintop." And I had no clue what he was talking about. And I'm sure that there was a look of puzzlement all over my face because he said, "You know, a mountaintop experience where you come face to face with God. You can see God, you can feel God, you can hear God. It is one of those experiences which fills you with an overwhelming feeling of unity with God and with others, and it leaves you glowing." When you have a mountaintop experience, it is one of those special moments or events in your life when you come face to face with God. You know for sure that God is with you, that God has spoken to you. During that mountaintop experience, the presence of God is so strong that it leaves you transformed. Not only does it transform and deepen your faith, but it literally transforms you as it generates an incandescent glow from deep within. And you do not have to be in some foreign country doing mission work to have a mountaintop experience. They occur all the time in our daily, ordinary lives. You can have a mountaintop experience in a worship service, at a church retreat, as you are looking at the beautiful views after a long hike, or as you're gazing at the beauty of a setting sun. God is forever coming to us in those exotic mountaintop moments, reminding us that he is with us, surrounding us with an overwhelming sense of his presence, and filling us with a deep sense of love and unity. Today, as we read our gospel reading from Mark, we encountered Peter, James, and John's mountaintop experience. In this passage, Jesus took those three disciples way up top of the mountain, and he completely changed form. His clothes became dazzling white. He was glowing, and he was beaming light. His entire body was transformed from an earthly body to a heavenly body. And during that mountaintop experience, not only did Moses and Elijah show up there with Jesus and the disciples, but God showed up in a cloud. During Peter, James, and John's mountaintop experience, they came face to face with Moses and Elijah. They witnessed the divine transfiguration of Jesus, and they were completely surrounded. They were engulfed by God's presence. And I'm certain that that mountaintop experience for those three disciples was quite transformative. I'm sure that it completely transformed and deepened their faith, their understanding of Jesus as well as God. And I'm confident that as they descended from the mountain, there was an incandescent glow radiating out of each one of them. Another well-known mountaintop experience occurs in Exodus chapter 34, when Moses goes to the top of Mount Sinai, and he goes there and he has a long conversation with God, and he chisels the Ten Commandments into two stone tablets, and then he finally descends from the mountain. Following that mountaintop experience, after Moses descends from the mountain, he has been so transformed and has such a radiant glow that he has to put a veil over his face to hide it, to not frighten the people around him. When you come face to face with God, it transforms you. When you encounter God in those mountaintop moments, wherever they may be, it generates a glow deep within you. And I think that is the point of those mountaintop experiences. We come face to face with God so that we can be transformed, so that the divine light and love within us can be stirred up, and that we can be reinvigorated. And as we descend from the mountaintops, we are intended to share that reinvigorated energy and enthusiasm with others. We are intended to radiate God's light and love with other people in this world. This morning, I wish that our gospel reading would have included the next biblical story following the transfiguration of Jesus, because it affirms this same notion. The next story is the key to understanding Peter, James, and John's mountaintop experience and the transfiguration of Jesus. Following the story of the transfiguration, Jesus and the three disciples descend from the mountain. And they find themselves in a remote village. And there's a boy there who is possessed by an evil spirit. The mother and father of this boy are enormously upset. They're worried about their sick son. So Jesus and the disciples stay with this mother and father. They comfort them. Jesus rebukes the evil spirit out of this boy. So in other words, Jesus and the disciples come down off that mountaintop, transformed, reinvigorated, radiating light. And they immediately find themselves in real life problems. They find themselves right in the middle of a situation where they are to share the light and love of God with someone else. I like the quotation by Henry Drummond, the Scottish theologian, when he says, "God does not make the mountains in order to be inhabited. God does not make the mountaintops for us to live on the mountaintops. It is not God's desire that we live on those mountaintops. We only ascend to the heights so we can catch a broader vision, a deeper understanding. But we aren't to live there. We dare not tarry there." God never meant for us to live on the mountaintop. We have those mountaintop experiences or those moments so that we can be transformed, so that we can be reinvigorated and have a deeper understanding of God. And so we can then descend from the mountain and radiate God's light and love throughout this world. Yesterday, we all celebrated Valentine's Day. And just a quick show of hands, I know that we are raising a lot of hands this morning, but just a quick show of hands of who all received or gave some sort of Valentine's Day card, flowers, chocolate, or gift. That's all of us. So, and we are not alone. According to recent statistics, 180 million Americans exchange Valentine's Day gifts or cards each year. 196 million roses are produced for Valentine's Day alone. And the average consumer spends around $116 each year on Valentine's Day. 53% of women report that they would end their relationship if they did not get some sort of Valentine's Day card, flowers, or chocolate. And this one's even better. 14% of women say that they send themselves flowers on Valentine's Day. If you all read my pastor's note in the Chronicle this month, then you would have seen a little write-up about how I am not the biggest proponent of Valentine's Day. I grew up in a home where we were encouraged to show our love and demonstrate kindness regardless of the day of the year. So instead of waiting till February 14th to express our love to our family members or even our friends, then we demonstrated our love with little acts of kindness throughout the entire year. And those acts of kindness ranged from picking wildflowers for my mom, or baking cookies for a friend or a neighbor, or leaving little notes of gratitude for someone to find. Every year, as Valentine's Day draws near, we are reminded that we are supposed to demonstrate our love towards others. As February 14th approaches, we become much more intentional about expressing that love. But as children of God, we possess a special type of divine love. We possess an agape love. And that love is meant to be shared with the whole world every day of the year. The word agape is one of four of the Greek words that are used in the New Testament to express love. And it refers to a brotherly type of love or charity. It denotes a self-sacrificing type of love. It refers to the deep self-sacrificing love that God possesses for all of humanity, and how as children of God, we are to reciprocate that back to God, as well as extend it to the rest of humankind. C.S. Lewis wrote about this word agape in his book, The Four Loves, describing agape as what he believed was the highest level of love known to humanity, a selfless love, and a love that is passionately committed to the well-being of others. There are certain events that occur in our lives that we call mountaintop experiences, in which we come face to face with God. During those moments, we are transformed by the presence of God. We are overwhelmed with a deep sense of unity, and the divine agape love within us is stirred up as we are reinvigorated. And when we descend from those mountaintops, we are intended to radiate that divine light and love and share it with all others in this world, and not just on February 14th. We are to be passionately committed to the well-being of others every day of the year. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.